Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Wendy Kern, LPGA professional, co-owner, and director of instruction for Mulligan's Golf Center in Harrisonburg. Mulligan's is Shenandoah Valley's premier golf practice facility with pro shop and miniature golf course that's dedicated to providing an inviting and fun environment for golfers of all ages and abilities. The newest expansion is their double-decker driving range, powered by Trackman Range. It's an interactive experience that isn't found anywhere else in the valley. Wendy is a graduate of James Madison University and played for the women's golf team. She is a member of the LPGA Class A Teaching and Club Professional and a top 50 certified Operation 36 coach. She's also much, much more with her 40 years of experience playing the game. Welcome to the show, Wendy. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks, Dawn. It's great to be here.
This is so fun. I'm so exciting. I just saw you in the shop where they got you. they went and fetched you so I could talk to you because I went with my family to experience the new expansion, that double decker. We had so much fun and it was amazing and preparing. Awesome. Yes. So great. So thank you again for coming on. I'm excited to get into this interview so our laughers can learn a little bit more about you and all that they can do at Mulligan's. Oh, great. My gosh. Yes. So let's do it. Wendy, let me tell you something. While I was preparing for this interview, I have to tell you, I did not know that you played for the JMU's women's golf team. And that was a little bit ago.
Just a little while.
And Harrisonburg looked a lot different back then. So I'm curious what courses were available to practice the game back then, and what, if any, golf ranges did you all have around at that time?
Well, actually, every course except for Heritage Oaks was around. Lakeview was there. I would play casually over there with some friends, and our team actually played at Spotswood Country Club. And the Chamblee was there. We actually hosted a tournament at Bryce Resort one year. So, and actually won at Ironwood. So they were all around, but we did not. There was a practice range on Route 11 that was basically where the Motor Mile is now, just a big piece of farmland, and that was a range. It was not great. and Route 11, of course, was a whole different story then too. Pretty much 33 ended at the Valley Mall. When I was at JMU, if that tells you how long ago that was. It went out, but it was two lanes. It wasn't a big road like it is now. So 11 was very similar. So south of Harrisonburg was, almost non-existent. So, but yeah, we played at Spotswood Country Club. So very familiar with Spotswood.
Yeah. That's great. That's good to know that. We moved here 16 years ago, so I don't have that richer history. And I love talking to people that were around Harrisonburg before we were, because it has grown so much.
Yes, it has.
It really has. And you are a co-owner with Nancy White, and Mulligan's opened in 2003. Nancy also has quite the I said it almost wrong again there. Sorry about that, Wendy. I'm dyslexia, so sometimes it just comes out weird. But the LPGA professional background herself. And it was really fun for me to learn that she has one gold and four silver medals for speed skating in the Canada Winter Games 1979. But Nancy, being from Canada and you originally from Easton, Maryland, when and where did the two of you meet?
In Harrisonburg. I didn't know Nancy until she bought Mulligan's. So she, has been a golf professional pretty much most of her adult life. She missed the Lake Placid Olympics in 1980 and decided that that was the end of speed skating and decided to go on the LPGA tour. That's an athlete for you. So she was a director of golf of a club down in Lynchburg, and decided she wanted to branch out on her own and have a driving range and a golf center. So she looked around and around and around and ended up landing on this one in Harrisonburg. She had a couple that she was looking at all over the Mid-Atlantic, and this one in Harrisonburg was the most appealing to her for multiple reasons. And so she was here developing Mulligans, and she had developed a good reputation for being a great instructor. And at the time I was a competitive amateur. So I went to her for lessons. And then when things slowed down in my life and I wasn't raising young men anymore, I asked Nancy if she needed some help at the shop, and then decided it was something I really wanted to do, to teach golf. And she gave me not only the perfect training environment for that, but also the perfect environment for me to kind of start taking some of the teaching rollover.
So first you started at Mulligans as a golf instructor before you became co-owner. Is that right, what I'm hearing? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I didn't become co-owner until 2015. So we would work, you know, obviously closely together. I was one of the managers and obviously the became the main instructor eventually. And so we, you know, joined in ownership in 2015.
I see. Okay. So you've been teaching there. Did I hear the, what year did you start?
Six.
Okay. Yes. 2006.
16 years.
Okay. Right when I moved to Harrisonburg.
Right. Exactly. You just didn't know about us yet.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I needed to, and I'm glad I do now. That's exciting. So what made you want to, did she approach you to co-own, or did you approach her, or did it just come out in conversation?
It seemed to be a natural fit, you know, with how vested I am in how things go. And so it just was a natural fit that we become owners together and, you know, manage things together as a team. And we're a good team in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going really well. There's so many things going on, like this expansion with the double decker. Oh my gosh. That's so incredible. Like that's what I was saying earlier. So my family was so impressed right after I was hitting golf balls. I said, I need these people on this podcast.
Oh, thank you.
And yes, you're welcome. And I talked to one of your employees, and that's when they fetched you. And I'm so glad that they did. I think it's just so fun and incredibly amazing. And I would love for you to talk to us about this new expansion, this double-decker driving range with the TrackMan range. People probably don't even know what TrackMan range was. I know I didn't, and what it could do until I was there punching all the buttons, trying to figure it out myself, which is actually very intuitive. But I would love for you to talk about that with us on the first level, and then some about the Smash Factory that you have on the second level and what is available to our laughers.
Well, TrackMan range is actually available on the bottom and the top level. It's just, we have the monitors down below because it's covered. The top level is not covered, so you can use your phone or your iPad if you go up top. But the TrackMan range itself is a really, like you said, very intuitive system. They're coming up with new games and new ways of improving it regularly. They just added a new game for children, which is really neat. And so what it essentially, it makes it golf fun for even non-golfers. Mm-hmm. Or even this golfer who doesn't have the time to go play golf, but I'll go out there when my back feels up to it, and I'll go out there and play on that thing. And I haven't hit a golf ball probably for a year and a half prior to that. So it's just a fun way to be there practicing and, yes, improving your skills, but also being able to go play a golf course that's halfway across the world, you know, St. Andrews. Some of these amazing courses they played the PGA championships at, they played some of the courses they played the British Open on, There's a course over in Germany that's really cool, one in Hawaii. So it's fun to be able to travel all over the world at Mulligan's Golf Center and play golf for the cost of a bucket of range balls. But at the same time, as a golfer, there's an opportunity to improve your game with the different things that the app can show you based on your performance of what you're doing with your golf shot. So you can have a real intuitive, I like that word, practice session where each club, it's telling you how far you're going, how far you're carrying it, what your total is. You know, what for a driver, what your launch angle is, it tells you that. And it helps the golfer know, okay, was I aimed correctly? Was I hitting everything shorter than I thought I would, or longer, or whatever? So, when you have the app on your phone, you can then sit down and see history of what you've done. And that's a neat thing for people who are actually trying to improve their golf game.
That's true. And can you, I think a visual of a typical bay area for someone who hasn't been to Mulligan's before at this double decker on that first level, if you can give us like a visual of what that looks like, because there's some pretty neat features there, I think, that need to be highlighted, but I would like for them to hear it from you.
Yeah. And I don't like to beat our own drum by any means, but when we first saw that thing put together, it really is stunning to look down the line of the range and have it be so pretty. The people that built the structure for us did a fantastic job, and it took a complete village to build this thing as far as the electrical required and so forth. And we have, so if you go into a bay, you have what's called a power tee. And you put your balls into this hopper, for lack of a better word, and the ball feeds up onto the tee. So it's an automatic system with premium mats, and the tees are adjustable. So you can move the tee, you can pull the ball off the tee for hitting irons and so forth. And of course, we have multiple targets out on the range. That's a really cool feature. The exciting part of the range, though, is the TrackMan range and the monitor that you get to look at that's in each bay. So there's a comfortable area for the people to put their clubs and a comfortable area for them to sit if they need a rest, have a snack. But the TrackMan range monitor then is this large screen that shows you whatever practice session you've decided to do, whether you're actually just looking down the range and you're again trying to have a practice session where you want to see how far you're hitting things and what the ball speed of it is and all that. You can go and you can play games, which we have a great time doing with our juniors and my girls' golf program. A father and a grandfather and a son can go and play these games, and everybody can be good at it because it just essentially you hit the ball somewhere in the air and you're going to get points.
That's good. That's kind of program I need.
Exactly. That's why it's fun for us. Then like I said, we have an option where you can push for courses, and it loads all of the courses that are in the system, which I think are now 13 courses, allow you to have an interactive experience like you're playing the golf course, but using our driving range. So we have 20 of those bays on the bottom. So that's what makes it super, super fun. And most people really love that downstairs because of the monitor experience that they're able to have.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And then on the second level, which I haven't experienced yet, and I'm looking forward to doing so in the future, is your Smash Factory. What can you tell us about the Smash Factory?
Well, I'm sitting in it right now because it's the only quiet place I was able to find.
That's awesome.
It's a two bay indoor space where we have, it's the whole place is carpeted with putting carpet, and we have each bay has a hitting mat that you can actually put tees in. And this is where we do all of our fitting. We do any type of inclement weather teaching. We have automatic doors that go up so people are able to head out onto the range. And this is where we do all of our custom fitting, where we have all our two TrackMan launch monitors. They're a whole different, they're a whole different animal than the TrackMan range. They have a lot more detail on someone's ball and swing dynamics. Mm. But we have two of those up here. We have our shaft optimizer. We have the monitors to show people what all the numbers are and where the ball is going and stuff. So it's really a nice place to come and hang out with people who are wanting to get custom fitted.
Okay. So if you have no idea if you need the Smash Factory or not, you know what I mean? I golf every once in a while. I used to do a lot more years ago. I actually worked at a golf shop as a golf shop manager. Mm-hmm. So I play a little bit, you know, but I'm certainly not LPGA material. And I think a lot of people that come to your place may or may not go, I don't know, is the Smash Factory for me? So that was more of a broader picture of what it is. Like, what would be the advantages, or what would you tell somebody that's more of an amateur golfer why they should take advantage of the Smash Factory and what it can do for them?
So anybody who wants to play golf and play it regularly really should get fitted for their golf clubs. It makes such a big difference. The shaft optimizer is a new tool we've been able to use, and it's even been stunning to me and the other fitters what it will come up with for people for their shafts. And that's really super helpful because no assumptions are made whatsoever. It's all algorithmic based on a person's golf swing and how a person's tempo is and all that. But, you know, just as an example, a prime example is I'm 5'4", I'm a 55-year-old woman, and nobody's supposed to know that. And,
oops. Yeah,
exactly. And I fit for almost men's standard. Because of the way that I'm shaped. I mean, my arms are higher from the ground, so I'm not, you know, you'd think somebody that's 5'4", you know, maybe they'd even be in something under ladies standard. But that's not the case. And there's no one size fits all for golfers at all. And that's why it's so important to get fitted, because three people might be standing right next to each other and they might need three separate fittings because of the way their swing makes the ball go. And also because of their size. Yes, ability does have something to do with it when it comes to how we're fitting somebody. If they're, you know, a newer golfer or somebody that's a higher handicapper, we're going to definitely fit them to something that's more forgiving and easier for them to have fun with. And if they're a low handicapper, then they're probably going to look for something that's a little bit, you know, for people who are better players, a little more workable golf club, things like that. So There's a number of things that go into it based on what a person's swing dynamics are that involve a fitting involves. And anybody who wants to play golf and play it at their best should definitely get fitted for their golf clubs.
I have a few questions in there. One, just first for the laughers out there who have maybe played some miniature golf, have maybe or maybe not been on a driving range, and perhaps maybe or maybe not played on a golf course actually, so their golf knowledge is limited. Mm-hmm. What is a low handicapper and a high handicapper? Can you break down that definition for us?
Sure. Yeah. Sorry, I fall into golf lingo sometimes.
It's all right.
So a person who has a low handicap is someone who plays golf very, very well. When they go on the course, they're going to be somewhere close to shooting par. So they are very, very good golfer. And then a high handicapper is somebody who's either new, haven't had chance to really practice, haven't had good instruction, and they hit the ball a few more times than the low handicapper.
That's me.
and they don't necessarily know exactly where their golf shots are going. I mean, the professionals don't always know where their ball's going.
Right.
But they don't have a good feel for their swing yet. And that's where, you know, if they really are having fun with it, their handicap will start to decrease because they'll come back out and practice, they'll get instruction. And as you get better, your handicap will go down.
Yes, that's good. And one more definition for everybody. The golfers are going to know exactly what that is. But one of the things I love about this podcast is an opportunity for people to learn a lot of different things. Uh-huh. And so what is par?
Par is it's the score that you have on a hole that would be question. Okay.
It's all right.
So if a hole is 450 yards,
okay,
and a really good golfer would hit it twice to get on the green and have two putts, which is your average amount of putts that you would have, that's par.
Okay.
Okay. So on a golf course, you typically have 18 holes. Okay. You have four par threes, which means you're going to hit the green in one and have two putts, ideally. I guess par would be defined as the ideal score that you would want to have if you were a par golfer. Okay.
Right.
And then you have, four par fives. Let's see, it's at it. And then you have eight par fours.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And so, and that varies.
Yeah. But, a little bit. Yeah.
You definitely have more par fours than you do the par threes and par fives. And so par is par, but what I tell my students is, what is your par? What is the best that you can do? You know, if having a six on a par four is your par, then that's all that you should expect to have, unless obviously it'll get better as they get better, but don't beat yourself up for not having this score that only the best in the world typically shoot.
Mm.
So, you know, my par is not even par because I don't play, as I mentioned to you earlier, I don't play that much. So my par is having, you know, a higher score on some of those holes than would be par. You know, maybe I have a five on some of the par fours, or I don't always hit a par three and make three. So, you know, people go out thinking they should be looking at this scorecard and saying, man, I stink. I'm having an eight on this par five. No, you don't stink. It's your par, and it's what's good for you right now. And you'll get better if you keep going at it. But right now, that's the best you have. And that's good because you're out there.
I love that. That's beautiful. I used to do triathlons and 5Ks and 10Ks and things like that. So you're really competing against yourself rather than other people. And so you were going for your own PR, your own personal record. And I like that. That's how you look at it in terms of golf instruction and people improving their game is what's their, you know, I guess PP. personal par. Yeah.
And you know, you want them to have fun and feel like they should be out there, and you know, it doesn't matter whatever. That's what I love. I love running also for that same reason. Is it's you in this road, or it's you in the golf course, and that's it. And yes, you know, are you, when you do get to the point that you're playing competitively, do you have opponents? Of course, but no opponent out there wants you to lose. They just want to play their best and have that be the best score and have that end up being the win. You know, they all want to win. They all want to win, but they know that there's only going to be one of them.
Yeah. Oh, the competitive spirit. I have it myself. Blessing and a curse, that competitive spirit. I believe that. You're very passionate. You've been teaching golf a long time, and you're very passionate about golf instruction. And I see that you have an Operation 36 golf program available for juniors to adults. That looks amazing. Can you share with us what that's all about and how it works?
Sure. Yeah. Operation 36, Nancy and I discovered 4 or 5 years ago at one of the PGA shows. And we absolutely fell in love with it. And the concept of it makes total sense what we found, what we were talking to these guys about and decided to join in their system is that they start from the green back. So they teach people how to have their short game first and then continuously work their way back as they get more and more confident with their ability. And I think we just think it's such a fantastic system. And part of the system is getting people on the golf course. So they're not just taking lessons, they're actually getting on the golf course. But something that does raise some people's eyebrows, especially the more experienced golfers who decide to take the class, is, hey guys, we're all starting at 25 yards. And
they're like, what? Yes.
Yep. Which is great. 25 yards is a great distance for everybody to play from. And our juniors and adults alike, they all start at 25 yards until they can shoot 36 or better. And then they move back to 50 yards. And then they move back to 100 yards. So we have juniors that have, you know, been at 25 or 50 for, you know, several semesters. And then they finally break through that 50 yards or whatever. We just had a couple of kids do that recently, and they're just so thrilled because they finally broke through what they thought of as being their biggest challenge. And honestly, I think that if I'd been taught as a junior that shooting par was what you're supposed to do, I know that sounds funny, but 36 is par on 9 holes.
Okay,
so,
great.
Yeah. So when I was taught to get back on the main tees and do the best I could. Well, when you're a little tight, 10 years old, you're hitting a lot of golf shots to get to the green by the time you get there. And this is so much more encouraging to keep them at 25, where it's very doable for them to hit the green and at most 2 shots, and then move their way back as they get more confident. The adults find that it really, really enhances their focus on short game, which short game being the shots that are hit from 100 yards into the green. And that's why many of them will join the class, as they know that it's going to improve their short game. It's just kind of funny to get some of their reactions when we start them all at the 25 yard line. They realize when they get off the golf course, well, maybe this really wasn't quite as easy as I thought it might be. 36, many of them blow out of the water, but you know, they also, once they get off the course after shooting at 25, they appreciate what they had to do and focus on to score as well as they could.
Yeah, I think that's a really wonderful way to flip golf on its head and get better at the game. I'd not really heard about Operation 36 Golf until I was preparing for this interview. And I was like, what is this? And there's a video on your website too that gives you a little bit more information. I was like, that is amazing. So I think that's really neat. Now, you said you do that on the golf course, but there's not a golf course at Mulligan's, right?
No, we play at Heritage Oaks.
Okay. All right.
So we go and we've partnered with Heritage Oaks, and we get tee times with them and about 3 times every 8 weeks. And we take our group out there and we set the tees with these little cones we have. We set the tees at 25 and 50 and 100 and the course, we have the tee times, and we just play based on tee times and get around the course pretty relatively quickly because they're only playing from those yardages.
We play
the front 9 typically.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. So then you would sign up. If you signed up for golf instruction, it would say Operation 36. So you know what you're signing up for, and I guess, and give you the times. Is that how that works? If someone was interested in giving this a whirl?
Yes. We are in the middle of our summer semester. It's an 8-week class. And so we'll be starting our fall semester in August, and it'll only be another 8 weeks. We have multiple levels. The person that takes the class for the first time takes level 1 so that they get the basis for what we do in Operation 36. And then we go, and if they want to pursue a little bit more detail, then we have a level 2 and a level 3 class that they can stay in the system and stay in the program rather and continue their journey with the program. So, you know, during 8 weeks, they can ultimately get back to the 100-yard marker and see how well they can do, or they may not get back there in those 8 weeks. If they want to continue, then they just continue going further and further back as they shoot 36 or better. So we have a lot of people that come back for that second and third class. And of course we give individual instruction. But as for Operation 36, those are the group classes.
Okay. That brings another question to mind, as you talked about the basic semesters available. Do you all operate through the winter, or do you kind of have a break there?
We do operate through the winter, and now even more so.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Well, we have the Smash Factory that's temperature controlled. So we can teach and fit out of the Smash Factory 12 months a year.
Nice.
The bottom part of the range we currently are only piped in for 6 mats that have heaters on them. Ambient heat that kind of gets forced down onto the mat. So we'll of course close all the garage doors in the back and keep it as, you know, wind free as possible in the wintertime. And that's of course what is a biggie out here is how chilly the wind could potentially be. Of course, we're going to slow down in the wintertime, but we don't close by any means. And we don't need to stop doing lessons or fittings anymore because we're now in a completely protected building that we're able to do our fittings and teaching out of.
Yeah, that back into that double-decker range, that's so impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, I forgot to ask this, and I do want to know, what prompted you all to do this expansion, to bring in the double-decker?
So prior to, I guess it was actually kind of in the midst of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic, a lot of people decided to take up golf because yes. It was the only thing that people could do and be outside. And one of the things they could do and be outside. So consequently, the game grew more in 2020 than it had grown since Tiger hit the PGA. And wow. So it was a marked increase in the amount of golfers that were coming out and starting to play golf. People were either reigniting their passion for golf again because it was something to do. They could be outside and be with their friends. But also people were taking up the game. And so the game grew remarkably. And so because of that, we saw a lot more interest in the game and more traffic of people wanting to come and practice and learn the game. So we were at a PGA show and listening to some seminars and webinars and things. And they were talking about, you know, how you really, really are going to be stepping back in the near future if you don't start to incorporate some element of technology.
Mm.
And that's where the future of golf is. It appeals to the younger crowd. It appeals to the golfers who want to see their numbers and so forth. So, you know, more and more people are buying simulators and things like that, so they have access to this visual experience. And Nancy and I went to a Topgolf for our first experience in anything like that several years ago when we were down in Florida for the PGA show. And we really, really had a great time. We realized the experience could be fairly brief and you could still have a great time. You could, you know, hang out for an hour, hit balls, have target games, play against each other, have a good time without, you know, it being a full 4 hours on the golf course. And I think that's one of the things that makes these places successful is people have time to do this, but not necessarily go play 18 holes of golf necessarily. So I think it appeals to the way society is anymore, where it's, you know, we're so packed with things to do and jobs and all that, you know, we do have an hour to go hit golf balls. And now we can actually have an interactive experience. So when we were at the PGA show in 21, we started investigating or exploring the TrackMan range and also Top Tracer, which is the technology that Topgolf came up with to put into ranges. And so we explored which one we thought would work better for us and the community we have here at Mulligan's, golfing community we have here at Mulligan's. And we felt like the TrackMan range was something that would be a little bit more robust for us and our needs. And started talking to them and then realized if we were going to do the TrackMan range, then we probably needed to have a covered driving range to make it comfortable for people. And then
I like this part. It's one of my favorite parts.
A year later, we have a double decker and TrackMan range on all 20 bays and all 17 up top. And we have this amazing Smash Factory, and it's been quite the journey, and it's been a great one.
Oh, it's fast and furious. A year to put that thing together is impressive.
Yeah. Like I said, we had a great team.
Yeah.
A great team of, you know, combination of contractors and TrackMan range guys and marketing with TrackMan range and the Power Tee guys that were so great. We really are very, very blessed to have the team that we were able to pull together.
You guys did a great job. I'm curious, what is your personal favorite part of the interactive experience?
My personal favorite is probably playing the courses. We have a par three course out there that's just par threes. And I like playing playing nine holes from all three tees so that I get a lot of practice with my, my 100 yard in game. As an instructor, for my kids, I like the games, especially for my girls golf program, because their abilities, you know, a little bit less ability based, it's more fun based. And for the adults, we take them, you know, through the games, but also do the courses and play kind of a scramble kind of thing, which is kind of cool. So I like it all. If I were still competing, I would love the practice session.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's a great way to practice if you're actually, you know, concerned over making your game get better and improving your game. But we have people come out that just come to play the courses, or people that come out just to hit balls and see the games and see the ball flying through the air.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. And then hopefully find out more about your golf instruction. We've heard about the Operation 36, but you have all different kinds of packages available for golf instruction, don't you? Can you share a little bit about what all is available in terms of learning the game at Mulligan's?
Sure. Chase Flannery and I are the instructors for the most part at this point. And we offer single lessons on a half an hour or hour long basis. We have packages. We also teach couples lessons. We've taught groups of people who just want to do a friend thing or a company get together or something. We'll do groups like that. And so I'm doing one of those types of groups coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to start a little 6-week company program that we're doing with one of our customers.
Nice.
And then we have the girls golf program, which is a program I've been the director of since 2006. And it's a fantastic program that introduces the game to young girls and allows them to kind of have a Girl Scouts experience with golf clubs in their hands. They're learning about themselves. They're learning about the etiquette behind golf and life. They're learning ways of, you know, thinking of themselves, ways of treating themselves, and eating correctly, nutrition, things like that. But we incorporate golf into that as well. So they're learning while we're doing all of that.
Oh, that's really great. I didn't know you had that. I'm glad we did this today for many reasons. It's life skills, to learn life skills like that young is really wonderful. And to put it, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. And beyond instruction and the fun interactive experience and the double decker, there's other fun to be had at Mulligan's. You have an 18-hole miniature golf course. It's advertised as beautiful, super fun, and pretty challenging. I want to know, have you played on this course?
Yes, I have. And it's really fun. We call it miniature golf and not putt-putt because it is truly a little miniature golf course and not, you know, it's not gamed up or souped up with a lot of windmills and, you know, clown's mouths and things like that. And the elevation we have on the course was just done so well by a company actually out of New Jersey that designed the course for us called Harris Mini Golf. They go all over the world to build these golf courses. And it's just a super fun way for people who don't know how to play golf to go out and have fun with each other and hoop and holler a little bit, but also be challenged.
So yeah, speaking of challenging, what do you think are the most challenging parts of the miniature golf course?
There's a couple holes out there that really force you to know what kind of speed you need to have. And, you know, being a golfer is kind of a bit of a detriment because you're not into banging off walls and just hoping for the best.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. I can tell you, I have not shot under par on that golf course.
For real?
No. And it's challenging. It's definitely the like I said, the elevation's challenging, the speeds, the angles, the speed of the green, you know, there it's super fun while you're doing it. I don't care that I don't shoot even par. it's fun because it's pretty and it's exciting and there's, you know, ramps and there's streams that you can hit balls into and it goes over a little grate and things that are fun, you know, different levels that you go into one hole and come out the other and things like that.
Ah, yeah. I played it a couple of times. You're making me feel better about how I played now.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not a gimme. That's for sure.
No, I was like, what is wrong? Cause I usually am better at putting than of course, any part of the other
game.
That's
what I usually say too.
What happened? And next to the miniature golf course, you have this lighted party pavilion that's available for rent. What is the minimum and maximum group size you can have? And also, how have people utilized that space for events?
So there's really no minimum. We just have a rental fee. But the maximum is, well, it seats 80 people. But we've had numerous events out here like Walmart Distribution Center and the Realtors Association. And we're having Big Brothers Big Sisters have a big event out here. We have events like that. So you don't have to, even though the pavilion only seats 80 people, you know, if it's a rotating group of people that are standing and not necessarily literally sitting, then it can be, you know, much more than that while people are playing golf, people are eating, things like that. So we're now, offering that, you know, something like that out on our, under our structure as well, that allows for catering opportunities. But we can do birthday parties. We do corporate events. As I said, we do the Realtor Association. So, you know, we do fundraisers. We've done fraternity and sorority events, you know, birthday parties, anniversary parties, things like that. So pretty accommodating to most everybody that wants to come and have fun and be outside and enjoy each other.
That's great. Yeah. I was really excited to learn more about that. I'd seen it and hadn't really thought about having a party there. Again, a very informative website. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
You also have something else new this year before we get out of here and close here in a minute that I want to talk about for sure, because I'm a foodie. So we need to know, we need to talk about this. You now have Grilligan's on site where laughers can get tasty bites. So what can they order at Grilligan's that we should know about?
We have a great grill menu now. We've our kitchen manager is very creative. And so she's come up with numerous things like a Cuban panini and this great wrap that she bacon chicken ranch wrap. And we, of course, have the best cheeseburgers in town and Nathan's hot dogs. And we're just recently we're probably in the next week or so going to be able to serve beer and wine. So
what?
Yeah, that is going to be an option here in the near future. So we also have ice cream and French fries and all the stuff that a grill has, but it's just a fun little area that we are able to serve a very nice sandwich, nice salads, great specials, and also fun stuff like ice cream and snacks. Wow. We have a nice seating area in there too now, which is great. So people can have an indoor place to actually have their meal, which is a vast improvement to what we had prior to building that.
Yeah, the golf shop is, I feel, has expanded as well. You have, yes, the indoor seating at Grilligan's. And then there's even some between the golf shop and the double decker. There's a few, like, I think they're like hexagon shaped, yes, picnic tables. So there's some outdoor seating as well between the golf shop and the driving range.
Right.
Which is really nice.
We also serve food in the driving range. That's what all those tables are so handy for.
What? See, that I'm going to be seeing Mulligan's more often, especially after the beer and wine show.
Yes, we've been asked that numerous times.
Yeah, golfers, you know, we do what we do. Well, as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Mulligan's on social media or otherwise to get more information?
Sure. Of course, as you'll mention about our website, but we also are on Facebook, so it's Mulligan's Golf Center, and you can like us and follow us out there. And so, of course, if you have any questions about anything, then you're more than welcome to give us a call at Mulligan's as well.
Excellent. And laughers, if you're working out or driving, don't worry. We'll be sure to put that information for you in the show notes as well. Thank you, Wendy. This has been really a super delight to speak to you on all things golf and Mulligan's. I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I very much look forward to hitting some more golf balls and enjoying all your amenities. Thank you again.
Thank you, Dawn. I really, really appreciate you including us. It was an honor to be included on your show.
Yay! I know, this is fabulous. Well, laughers, to get more information, do visit their website at mulligans-golf.com. That's mulligans-golf.com, and follow them on social so you can see what's new. Find out when the beer and wine is coming for sure. Have some fun, learn, and improve your golf game at Shenandoah Valley's premier golf facility. We'll be sure to put all their information for you in the show notes as well. And of course, lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.